Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you.
After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. He went a little farther, and he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I expect it's difficult for many of us to hear an extract from the book of Jonah and not immediately think of illustrated children's books featuring poor Jonah being swallowed up by a whale. And poor Jonah indeed. He tends not to be remembered as a great prophet like Isaiah or Elijah or Jeremiah. He's generally remembered as the prophet who runs away from God, gets vomited up by a big fish, and when he finally does go and preach repentance to the people of Nineveh, gets rather angry that God responds with compassion rather than judgment. But perhaps there's more to this story than our childhood memories allow us to imagine. Perhaps Jonah is a prophet for our time. Perhaps Jonah has something to offer to the discussions currently taking place all around us about climate change. The fact that animals feature so prominently in the story, not just the whale, but the animals of Nineveh, who famously put on sackcloth along with their human counterparts. The fact that animals seem important to this biblical book invites further reflection on what it might teach us about the relationship between humanity and the natural world. At the very end of the book of Jonah, God says, "Should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The book of Jonah ends with mention of many animals, and through that lens, we can read back into the story just how important the natural world is to its narrative. In chapter 1, as soon as Jonah decides to run away from God, as soon as he puts himself rather than God at the center of the story, he finds himself at war with nature. A storm hits and his boat is about to capsize. So he asks the pagan sailors whose boat he has hitched a ride in to throw him into the sea, and the storm subsides. Just as there seems to be a symbolic link between Jonah's self-centeredness and chaos in the natural world, so there also seems to be a link between his humility and natural calm. We move then to the famous episode with the whale. Despite the surreal nature of this scene, we notice two things. First, that God is at work in the natural world to bring Jonah back to where he needs to be. The story is at pains to mention that this was a divinely appointed act to save Jonah and the sailors too, who are the first people in the story, to pray. Second, Jonah himself is moved to prayer, which is how he spends his time in the belly of the whale. And his dramatic encounter with nature seems to bring him to a point of repentance and willingness to change course. And what a response he gets when he goes to Nineveh. The king issues a decree demanding that both humans and animals together must fast and put on sackcloth, with human and animal voices together crying to God for mercy. Jonah is still a reluctant prophet by all accounts, and sulks when the city of Nineveh, which was by all accounts a city of corruption, greed, and violence, is saved from destruction. The sun beats down on him. God appoints a bush to give him shade, and then a worm to destroy it. A sultry wind and more sun come along, and Jonah admits he's had enough. He wants to die. The whole of nature seems to be oppressing him. And then he realizes he needs to change, and his conception of God needs to change. He can't set himself above God or apart from nature. He needs to understand that God's mercy extends to all creation. God has compassion on the just and the unjust, on animals, plants, and the whole planet. Just as Jonah finds himself reflecting on his place in the natural order and rethinking and reimagining it, so also do we need to do the same. Jonah is a parable for all of us. Jonah represents all of us. The book of Jonah makes clear that when we humans, like Jonah, set ourselves against God and against nature, the consequences can be disastrous. At the same time, the hopeful message of the book is that God works through the natural order to bring humanity back to a place of repentance and restoration. As human beings, we have set ourselves against the natural world and put ourselves at the center of the story for far too long, seeing nature as a resource and commodity to be exploited to our own ends. The sobering statistics that have featured in the coverage of the COP26 summit this past week make this clear. We know that we need to change course, and urgently. Creation suffers because of human greed and selfishness, and the voices of the animals are crying out in our time for mercy, every bit as much as the animals in Nineveh did. As we bring these thoughts together and prayerfully reflect on our response, here are some practical lessons to take away from this ecological reading of the book of Jonah. First, it's never too late to change. The climate crisis is urgent, but change is still possible. Belief in a compassionate and merciful God can ground our own approach to repentance and the changes that we can all make to our lifestyles and patterns of consumption. We can proclaim a fast for our own times, eating less meat, burning less fuel, using less plastic, and recycling what we do use. Second, we need to adopt a response of prayerful humility to the crisis that we face, like Jonah in the belly of the whale. Setting this crisis within a perspective of prayer and recognition of God's compassion and desire to restore and renew our earth can ground a sense of hope and provide the motivation that we need to change, just as Jonah received fresh motivation from his 3 dramatic days of prayer. And third, we need to listen to the voice of the prophets, the ancient prophets, and the modern day prophets, and within the Christian church, Pope Francis, who last weekend gave a thought for the day, urging all of us to hear the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor and marginalized who are most affected by climate change. These prophetic voices are so powerful because they are not prophets of doom, but prophets of hope. And hope is the ultimate message of the book of Jonah. God has not given up on us. If we can find ways of changing and reimagining our relationship to the natural world, we open ourselves up, like the inhabitants of Nineveh, to God's infinite compassion and mercy. To close, here is the prayer the diocese have written for COP26. Let us pray. Creator of our common home, hear the cry of the earth. Our world stands in great peril, and many are suffering. We have put at risk present and future through the rapid warming of the earth and the careless destruction of its beauty. Give to the leaders of the world fresh hope and courage as the COP26 summit continues. Unite us all in a common mission to heal and cherish our world and steward its resources for future generations. May this conference be a turning point in human history for the sake of all the peoples of the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.